Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good evening and welcome to the Coco Express Show for September 16th, Monday. I hope you all had an amazing Monday. Mine started off really great. I had a wonderful weekend. I participated in an event this weekend that was nothing short of amazing. It was called She Is Me, and I will go into more details about that sometime during the week so that, you know, you can have an idea of what this was about and who the attendees were. However, tonight we have, I guess you can call him an old friend, Rennie Sharp joined us on the show a few weeks ago to discuss his different creative ventures, and they are all around film and mini web series and stuff like that. And he had a particular movie at the time that he was discussing, and that was Tony and Angel. But in our discussion, he also mentioned his web series, and he has come back with us today because the web series is getting ready to launch, and he wants to join us. And he didn't come back by himself this time. He brought some of his friends, the cast of the actual web series. So we're going to have a dialogue. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be fun. For many of you, Rennie Sharp is a very creative individual who has a lot of things under his hat. He wears many hats, and he has a lot of things under his belt that he shares with us, because when you're as creative as he is and you share your gifts and talents, you bring us into your world. Rennie, thank you for bringing us into your world, and welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. Now, today is just very interesting. I mean, well, we've communicated a bit today in regards to the show. And what I wanted to tell you was you thought that you were being a pain in the butt. But in all honesty and actuality, you were just showing care for your work. And I appreciate that so much, because that's important to me, because what's important to you is important to me when we're doing the show together, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, what's going on? What's new?
Wow. So as you pointed out earlier, when I was on your show last time, we did speak briefly about a project that I was in process with. We were actually in production at the moment, and I'm happy to say that we actually completed that, and we wrapped a few weeks ago. That story is a very heartfelt story for me, and it was something I hold very dear, because it was one of my very first projects I ever written. So to actually have it down in can is amazing. And then also to be working with some amazing and talented individuals who brought that vision to life is just breathtaking. It's surreal. I can't even really describe the feeling I had the day I actually was able to say it was a wrap. But it was a wonderful experience.
That's great, and I'm glad that you have that done, and you have, I guess you got your baby now, okay? You gave birth to it, and now you have your baby.
Yes, yes.
So now you're going to nurture the baby and let it go?
Yes, we are.
So it can grow?
Yes, we are going to definitely let it grow. We have a lot of good things coming down the chute in regards to this project. This project has kind of like took a life of its own. It started out as just one episode, but now it has multiplied. And we are very excited about the script, and along with the new characters that are going to be introduced, as long as we keep telling this story. And as I said, you know, just having such an amazing core crew along with the cast to bring this story to life has been like, it's been a journey. It's definitely been a journey.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about this so we can have a visual picture that we can paint for ourselves.
Okay, well, the story is called Among Us, and it's a suspense thriller. It's about a central intelligence agent who's framed for murder. He's actually framed for murdering his girlfriend. And the very person who set him up for that murder is the person he has been investigating. So it's a lot of intrigue. It's a lot of cloak and dagger. There are multiple characters in this story, and with each one of the characters, they actually have a backstory that kind of like fills in the gaps and tells the story itself. You could think along the lines of Born Identity meets 24 meets Lost, that type of film.
Ooh.
So we do a lot of flashbacks in this. So we tell the story from retrospect to present.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. So it's a story inside of a story inside of a story.
Yes.
That is really interesting and amazing. Now, how did you come up with this particular idea, and how did you get the details? Because when you're talking about espionage, intrigue, and all that other stuff, that's a
right.
lot of information. How did you?
Yes,
how did
it
all
is.
This come about?
Well, it's a combination of a few things. One, as I mentioned, I read almost everything you can ever think of, from James Patterson to Robert Ludlow and everything in between. Just kind of like really regurgitating the ideas of espionage and government conspiracies and things of that nature. And then with the actual events that's been taking place over the last almost 20 years in this country and abroad in regards to terrorism and things of that nature. And for me, it's always been a question, have we really found the ones who are truly pulling the strings? The ones who actually orchestrate this are those are just drones who actually pull the trigger, but there's somebody behind that actually put the gun in that person's hand. And that's the person that we have not caught yet. And so my story kind of revolves around that premise and around that kind of like feel.
Okay, so basically you want to know who gave the order to put the gun in the hand to cause the person to kill the person, and why would they do that and what connection they have. So it's like a really big web, and the spinner of the web, or the main, I guess you could say the main spider, is the one that you're trying to get to.
Right, and this story, he's only known as the Ghost.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a character, he's a person that no one has ever put a face to. We know he exists, but no one has ever really been able to put a face to the name or the individual. So the story is filled with a lot of intrigue. There's definitely a lot of fast-acting, fast-moving scenes in this because of just the nature of the story in general. But, again, guys, you know, my cast, it was, you know, it's like watching poetry in motion when you see people bring things together and then they bring it to life, and they kind of get it. They see the story and they actually bring it just the way you want it. And it's, for me, that was like subliminal. I couldn't have it done any better than that, actually.
If you want to cry, it's okay.
I will tell you this, when I rapped, I almost did cry because it was such an emotional moment for me to actually have it finished, you know, because as I said, it was my very, very, very first piece I ever written. I wrote this way back when I was in college, and it started just there, and it's been something I just held on for a long time, I held on to it for the right reason, because this was the climate and the right time to actually introduce a project like this.
Yes, because, I mean, I'm a Scandal person. I love Scandal. And you can't break me from my Scandal, I'm telling you. So that kind of stuff really interests me. And my favorite movie was Enemy of the State. So I get
it. Oh, nice.
Get it. I really get it. So I will definitely be checking it out. Now, you brought some of your posse back with you, and they're going to share some of their experiences. We want to get to know the real Rennie, okay? So you got to tell it all.
Okay. All right, well, they know to be on their best behavior, but they could definitely tell you how it is. I had the opportunity to work with two amazing and talented individuals, and I mean, these guys went above and beyond the call of duty for me, and it was just like, you know, as I said, it's like poetry watching it. You know, watching these individuals bring it every take. It was just like breathtaking. So it's like it was moments when I didn't want to call cut because it was just so real, just to watch what they do next, that type of thing. And I like to introduce Storm Gunrat and Rick Culler.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Well, welcome. I mean, I'm so glad to have you and have this opportunity to talk to you, the actors who are actually involved in the creative project and process. So I would like to ask you both, how was this? What was it like for you?
Storm, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Hey, first and foremost, thank you so much for having us. It's an honor and a privilege to speak about something that you love and actually have a platform. So thank you. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Having us here.
You're welcome.
Being a part of this project has been absolutely phenomenal. It's been trying, just as any other project can be. You know, there's ups and there's downs and there's challenges, that, especially when you're going the independent route. However, the rewards of meeting and working with talented people such as Remy, such as Rick, our DP, our crew, you know, our other cast members, It's something that you're lost for words. But this project, it's funny how it kind of came about. A few months ago, earlier this year, I went to Rennie because Rennie was the AD on another project I worked on that I was acting in. And I had this little bit of a daydream. And it was something weird for me. And I just picked up a pad and a pen and I just started writing. And I wrote out this whole scene where I saw this guy, you know, this agent-type character, and, you know, it was this long scene. And I met up with Rennie maybe about a week after that daydream, so to speak. And I shared with him the daydream that I had. And he was like, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I wrote a script years ago that sounds so similar to that. So I was, like, kind of slightly freaked out, for lack of a better word. I was like, kind of amazed, you know. I was like, This is pretty cool. So we chatted about it, you know. We sat down. He sent me the script, and it was so eerie and cool how my story or my daydream kind of just fit right into his story. It was like he finished the story that I kind of saw in my head. And I kid you not, this, we didn't speak about it. We didn't know, you know, prior. We didn't talk anything on the other set. So it was really cool how it kind of came about. So we spoke. He asked me, you know, invited me to read the script and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And of course, I read it, and I'm like, I'm totally in, you know, because it gave me an opportunity to be a character that I've always dreamed about. You know, as a little boy, I always wanted to be James Bond, and there's no black James Bond yet, so maybe there's still hope. But as a child, I envisioned that, like, that was my dream, to be James Bond when I got older, even before I knew I wanted to be an actor. So with this script and the espionage and the conspiracy and the twists and the turns, it kind of gave me an opportunity to not be James Bond, but to be Chris Blackburn.
All right. You
know, and create this character, you know. So, yeah, we have James Bond over there, but we want to introduce Chris Blackburn in Among Us, you know, this character who is a complex individual who is one way to certain people. You know, you see him and you think that he is, you know, this quiet, this internal person. He works with computers and he deals with analyzing, you know, information, but yet he's living another life where he's actually hands on and he's, you know, kicking down doors. And that's another thing that drew me to the character as well, because I love action. You know, I love to get my hands dirty, and this script has been nothing short of dirty, literally being dirty. Like, rehearsal after rehearsal, playing in the mud and the dirt. Rick can attest had things in your eye and mosquito bites and all sorts of stuff. But it was fantastic, or it is fantastic. The process is absolutely fantastic. So without taking, you know, another half an hour because I can talk, I'll let Rick, you know, jump in.
Wait, before you go, you didn't have a stunt double?
Oh, no. No stunt
What's
double
up with
yet.
That, Rennie?
Hey, these guys are truly dedicated.
Okay.
They're truly dedicated. And that was just another thing, them actually doing their own stunts. That was amazing. And I will say this, there were times when my heart just dropped, you know, because some of the things that they were actually attempting to do, again, going above and beyond to just give us that cinematic feel that we were shooting for. Again, this is going back to the commitment that I spoke about. And, you know, it was just amazing to be able to have them. Yeah, but as we move forward, we are going to have stunt doubles because there's no way I'm going to have these guys jumping onto hoods of cars and things of that nature. But they definitely showed me something about the true meaning of commitment and the love for the arts.
Okay. And we have also joining us. Hello.
Hi, I'm Rick Kohler. My character is Royce Fitzpatrick. I play an FBI agent that, you know, my role is just trying to find Chris and bring him in. And, you know, what's so interesting about this role for me was that sometimes reality can get played out in fantasy. And, you know, I grew up, my father was in law enforcement for 35 years, and I ended up getting cast for this part sort of blind. I run a company, and somebody scouted my face and said, this looks like the right character. And then in meeting the crew on one of the sites, you know, I just felt like we had a connection. And, you know, Rennie felt it also, and he encouraged me to take on a little bit more of a role. And I jumped all over it. You know, one of the beautiful things about this part is that it is physical, and it is engaged. And in putting this first piece together, Storm and I, you know, we had to go through weeks of choreography on fight scenes and practice, and like Storm said, getting dirty and roughing it up. And that's a lot of fun for us. We're both physical guys. And what was really wonderful about it for me was to be able to play a role similar to how I would have perceived my father to be, and to be able to internalize that and pretend to be that guy. And at the same time, know that I'm chasing the character that I'm chasing, but also, you know, feeling a close connection to that character. And there are twists and turns in this story that, you know, this character is, he's doing his job, but at the same time, he is also feeling emotion about, you know, why he's taking this guy in and doubting whether or not he's taking this guy in for the right reasons. And there's just a lot of physicality and a lot of emotion and a lot of questioning. Should I be doing my job the right way? And am I going above and beyond or below and beyond what I should be doing, you know, to try and fulfill this role? And it's just, it's been amazing for me. No matter what the results are, you know, when you're an actor and you're doing these kinds of things, you need to feel it. And this to me is a role that I could really wrap my arms around, because again, every time I was on site and every time I'm drawing a gun or chasing or you know, rolling around in the dirt and fighting, you know, I picture and internalize what I'm sure some of the things that my dad went through. So to me, it's very personal, and it means a lot to me, and it's such a joy and such a fulfillment to be able to be involved in a role like this.
That's excellent. I can hear how much you both. Well, Rennie, I can also understand your enthusiasm, because based on what I'm hearing, you all were just so enthusiastic about this particular project, and And it just shows that you are really dedicated to your craft as well as to the project and the person who is the creator or the creative mind behind the project. And that's important when you're working with a group of people and a team. I would have to ask you, Rick, how was it? Was this your first acting role?
It is my first acting role. I mean, I've done things years and years ago. I'm 45 years old, and in my teens, I was involved in a couple of things, and then I ended up, you know, taking a normal course into business, in the finance business, and then I ended up taking over a family company. And as I was doing that, I do some side projects, you know, that sort of fulfill the artistic side of me, which is really a buried side of my personality. And in doing that, I was able to kind of stumble on this role, and you know, kismet or karma just came forward, and it just seems like, you know, the right role at the right time. So, I mean, for me, it's just such a dream to be able to be involved in something after so many years and have it fit the way that it feels.
Oh, that is amazing. That's really amazing. Now, I would like for each of you, in whatever order you decide, to tell me what was one of the most interesting situations or scenarios that happened to you while doing this project.
Mm. Oh, that's going to be a good one. Go ahead, Storm. I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you guys speak on this.
The most interesting. Hey, Randy, can I speak about the first shoot?
Sure.
Okay, good. All right. So the first shoot we attempted to shoot this maybe a few months prior. And the scouted location wasn't a prime location for an actor, so to speak. Here's a diva coming out of me right now. we got to the set, and it was literally off the side of the road, and it was this swamp type, you know, mosh pit, and there was a lot of, you know, dead horseshoe crabs and a lot of flies, and it wasn't nice. But I knew myself. I said, you know, Storm, this is what you signed up for. You know, this is what you left a career a few years to pursue. This is your life. You know, so pull up your pants, you know, and stop whining and get down to it. So in this particular scene, I have to lay face down on the ground. But in this area, it's you know, it's swamp mess. So basically, I'm there pretty much for hours, laying down, and flies are crawling on me, you know, stuff with just God knows, you know. I'm thankful every day that I didn't get a few rashes from laying down in that. So I think through this entire process, that has been the most interesting. It showed me something about myself. It showed me something about my commitment level. And it showed me that I'm willing to go far for Rennie, so he must not forget about me in the future.
You hear that, Rennie, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, for you, let's see, Rick, what was your most interesting situation?
You know, Storm and I filmed this fight scene, which was, again, pretty intense and pretty physical. And you've got to film. What people don't understand is to grab one cut, to grab one scene, you've got to do a lot of cuts. And so the one scene for me is kind of jumping off of this rock wall and then, you know, falling to my left and throwing out an ankle and still trying to capture him. And when you do that, you know, 5, 10, 15 times, it takes a toll on your body. And I remember I sent a picture to Storm like a couple of days after. I probably had the size of a softball, a bruise on my left cheek of my behind that I haven't had since I played baseball, you know, from sliding into like second and third base. And I loved it. I, you know, it's, he talks about getting stunt doubles. I don't want stunt doubles. I figure, agreed. You know, yeah, we're willing to do what we have to do. We're physical guys, you know, we're athletic, we work out, you know. We really embrace that. And for me, you know, I finished out the day and I went home and I was sore, but I felt great, like I had a great football game. And I woke up the next morning and I looked at, I went in the mirror and I was like, what's going on over here? And I saw this bruise that was like all different kinds of colors that you couldn't even imagine, you know, could pop up on your body. And they're mean marks and they're scars and they're exciting. And I was really proud of it and psyched to have it. And so for me, that was a really, that was a really big rush and a very interesting part of the filming.
Oh, great. That's really interesting. You sound like the little kid that made his first home run but knocked his tooth out at the same time.
Exactly.
Definitely. And Rennie, what was the most...
Yes.
Tell me your story.
Well, these guys, wow. I have a couple of moments, but I would have to say the moment Storm mentioned about laying in that marsh, because that was actually a secondary location that we located, because the first location was not going to actually work for the scene that we wanted to shoot. And to show me his level of commitment by laying down in that thing. Like he said, he was there for hours. He was there for literally laying in that stuff about 5 hours. So it really showed me a lot about his commitment to this project, his commitment to his craft as an actor, but also willing to actually give of himself like that was just totally surreal. The other instance was trying to work with how do I say this? Trying to get the best you can get out of a person is always a trying thing when you're trying to convey an emotion. And you use all the tricks in the book. You try to get them to regress back to a moment when they're in their childhood, all those little things that may work. But the truth of the matter is that it's just a process that we go through, and we do what we do to try to get to a certain place. And you know, working with Storm and Rick and the other cast members. There, you know, there were moments where, you know, like, wow, you know, these guys really get it. Then all of a sudden, like, what are we doing here? That type of thing. But I think they rose to the occasion each and every time because I don't want to say I'm a perfectionist, but I see my vision. And, you know, when you say you see it with me, I want you to actually see it exactly as clear. And knowing that if we haven't really hit that mark yet, I want to hear you tell me, no, I want to go again. I love the fact that these guys tell me that they want to do their own stunts. I'm concerned about it because I don't want anyone to get hurt. So, but it shows me their level of commitment once again. I'm humbled by that.
That is amazing, honestly amazing, because the dedication and loyalty towards their work, it just speaks volumes to you as well.
Exactly. So it's just been a labor of love. You know, and I think most directors go through this. You know, when they're trying to motivate people to do certain things and get to a certain place, you know, you try your best and you hope that, you know, it makes sense when you finally look at your footage. You know, you see if you got everything that you was hoping for. Things that you envision, things of that nature, and does it really set the right type of tone for the story? Those type of things. So, you know, these guys actually did that. You know, they actually went and helped me create a brand. You know, because we're looking ahead with this project because this project has true potential. And I don't see anything short of us being just that, So I'm really thankful. I'm really happy that we got what we set out to do, and that these guys will always remember that, you know, they have my deepest gratitude for everything that they put into this show.
Okay. Now, tell me something about the show in general. Where will people be able to see it? When will they be able to see it?
Well, I'm going to be posting up on Facebook. We are actually in the process of doing a lot of marketing PR behind this project. We were just invited, and we are waiting for confirmation. So, we're keeping our fingers crossed, praying to the acting gods to allow this to happen. But we were invited to be a part of the Oktoberfest Film Festival that's taking place next month.
Excellent.
So we're really happy about that. And, you know, for those who are interested in following this project as we continue to move forward, I definitely would love to have them come out to that festival to see it. And that location will be posted up online. I will definitely be blasting it out along with Strong, Rick, and everybody else we can think of. We will definitely get the word out. And after that festival, we will definitely be launching it online. So it will be launched online, I would say, before the holidays. When I say the holidays, I'm talking about Christmas, though. So Christmas going into New Year's. No, not Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yes.
That is amazing. That's excellent. Now, tell me, what other projects do you have up your sleeve this year?
Well, this year, we're actually going to be shooting the next three episodes of this particular project. As I mentioned earlier, the script is, we are working on the scripts as we speak, and we actually have the next three episodes ready to go. So we're looking to hopefully be able to shoot right after the Christmas holidays going into the new year. And obviously we won't be shooting in New York, so it's going to be very interesting. You know, we're looking to take this project, you know, elsewhere, probably down to we're definitely going to be shooting in warmer climates, that's for sure. So either we're looking at Atlanta or
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we won't be shooting, because I know these guys would really kill me if I told them, look, no, we're going to be shooting in New York. And it's going to be freezing. So, no, I tried that once before. We're not doing that. So, so we will definitely be looking at possibly shooting the next three episodes out of state. So that's going to be very interesting. Fun to be, you know, fun in the same sense, too. So I know these guys would be excited about doing that.
Great. That is amazing. That is excellent. Now, when you are not doing this, what do you do?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. No, she didn't go there. Oh, so. All right,
yes,
so
I did.
I am in the legal arena. I work at a law firm on Park Avenue in the city by day. And while it pays my bills at the moment, I hate every minute of it because it does not allow me to be the creator that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I envision my project each and every day. I live and breathe this work each and every day. And I'm always thinking about when I'm on the train on my way to work, I'm writing scenes on the train. So this is what I want to do. This is who I am. I'm a filmmaker. And for me, there's no greater feeling to be able to actually come up with some kind of idea and then birth that into a scene and then build that scene and create a story and then create that story into a particular either feature or a short film. It's just an amazing feeling to be able to do that.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, I understand that Rick, he is involved in his family business when he is in between acting jobs. What about you, Storm? What do you do?
Oh, okay. You ready for this?
I'm listening.
I always joke and tell people that I'm a stripper, but it's nowhere near that. Sorry, Mom. It was a joke. I know my mom is probably listening. So, I work in construction with my uncle, who does a lot of interior design and so forth. The past 2 years for me have been trying and true, because I come from finance, a finance background, and I gave it everything up 2 years ago, 2011, and it's been tough, but absolutely rewarding. My uncle stepped in, you know, and he's given me an opportunity to work with him. It's not as steady. My mm-hmm. lifestyle is not as comfortable as it used to be, but, you know, I spoke recently to my support system, you know, my family, and recently, this on Friday, actually, you know, my girlfriend said to me that, you know, you have to, you know, you've come such a long way, you know, these past 2 years. I've been acting professionally for 5 years, but the past 2 years, you've come such a long way. You've been this place, you've done this, you've done that, and, you know, now is not the time to give up. You know, I'm a positive person, but, you know, we all hit those lows sometime, you know. And she said to me that you don't, you know, just because, you know, you're going through this right now, it's not a time to just take off your shoes and relax. You know, now is the time to kick it into high gear and to kind of give up that memory of what you had. You know, that was another life ago. Now you're an artist full time. This is what you do. This is your passion. This is your dreams that you're living every day. So however you need to accomplish that dream and to live that dream every day, that's what you have to do. So to answer that question, it's whatever pays the bill, whatever honest and legal work that I can get my hands on, you know, that's where I'm at now. It's getting the work done, you know, getting the work done to afford me the opportunity to live this dream every single day, every single set, every single script, every single monologue.
That's amazing, because I firmly believe that you have to pursue your passions and your dreams, because if you don't, you die. And
right.
It is extremely important that you have a support system that's positively backing what you're doing, because mm-hmm. that could also make it so much more difficult. And you are very blessed to have that.
Absolutely.
Are you there?
I'm here, Randy.
Yeah, she was saying that she was having some technical difficulties earlier, so she's probably still on it.
Yeah. I think we lost her.
She was having some technical difficulties earlier. No, she's still on. I still have her connected.
Okay. Well, we're probably, maybe the audience can still hear us.
Yeah, I think
so.
But you know what? But wait, let me make a point about this. You know, you guys, what's amazing about you guys to me is that it is such a huge sacrifice, and you know, to see what you two put in terms of time, commitment, and money, and investment of, you know, your integrity, and it's just incredible. I mean, I'm jealous of it, and I wish I did it sooner, and you know, you guys really are an inspiration to me, because I know how much time and commitment you put into it, and you know, I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, to be in a place where I can do these things sort of on the side, but you know, I'm really awed by your commitment to this craft, and I hope that, you know, I hope that moving forward I could, you know, I could have the opportunity to be able to have that same intensity. It's pretty impressive, guys. It really is.
Well,
hi guys, I'm back.
Hey, there you go. We were still holding on. We were still taking on the show.
I know. I told you that I've been having some technical things, and yeah, to keep it moving.
I told them that, and we kept the show going for you. I just wanted to kind of comment to something Rick had just mentioned to me and Storm while you were coming back on the air just now. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, Rick, I'm a true believer that everything happens in its due course. My journeys in life, I think, had I not had those particular experiences, it would not have made the man I am today, because, you know, it was a true transformation for me in a lot of senses of the word. When you come from a upbringing where there's not a big support, this is what, you know, in my previous interview I mentioned that when you have a voice inside that's telling you to share, you know, share of yourself and share this vision, but no one is really supporting, it's like a part of you that's dying, but it still exists. And that was the moment for me when I, you know, like Storm, he walked away from what he was doing 2 years ago. I pretty much walked away 4 years ago. And when I did that, I knew I was making a very huge sacrifice, but I was really stepping out there on faith because I was relatively new to the industry. I didn't know anyone. So I just dove in. And when I dove in, I was fortunate to have some good people catch me.
Yeah.
And this kind of like passed me up the stream. So I'll say this to you is that your coming into this was at the right time. And I see wonderful and big things for you, both of you guys. This is one of the reasons why I feel so very passionate about this particular project and the cast that I have in it right now, because you guys bring it every time I yell action. You guys give me something that's truly, truly gift, you know, it's a gift. And we're passing it on, and that's amazing.
Oh, I love all this love.
Okay. Well, you know, what's so funny about it is, I mean, it's such a gutsy move. And then when you're on the acting side, you know, you're doing what you can do and you're trying to make it be the best that it can be, but you never know how that's going to translate into film. And Rennie and I have talked about this quite a few times. You know, did you get what you wanted to get? I mean, Storm and I think it was okay, or actually I would think that Storm's like me, where he thinks maybe they didn't get it. It wasn't as good as it could be. And, you know, and I'm constantly asking Rennie, did you get it? Is this what you wanted? Did you see it? Because you can't tell from our side of the camera. You can only tell from the other side of the camera. And it is extremely rewarding, you know,
absolutely,
to hear him say statements like, you know, maybe we only did 2 or 3 takes, and we would go 10, 15 takes deep if we had to have him say, no, we got it. This is good. I like what I saw. Let's move on. I mean, that's a very rewarding thing, you know, when you're on the acting side of the camera.
Couldn't agree any more. Absolutely.
Especially in the marsh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All righty. I'm telling you. That, you know, it's really good because we don't often get the opportunity to hear all sides of a scenario in this particular case. And to hear the actor's, I guess, perspective and the director's perspective, how they are similar yet different, is really interesting because of the fact that, like you said, you don't really get to see what he sees. You only know that you're doing what you're doing. Now, I don't know if you do this, Rennie, or not. Do you allow the actors to see the take after it's done, or do you just move forward?
It really depends on the scene that I'm shooting. If it's a very intense scene, as for example, when we did this fight, this action scene in this last take that we shot a few weeks back, yeah, I did allow them to look at it because I wanted them to see what I've seen and what was missing at the time, you know, to get it to that point, as well as say, okay, guys, we got some of this, but we didn't get everything. Look at this right here, and let's see what we can do better to make it really transcend and really transition that scene the way it's supposed to. Because as Rick pointed out earlier, we worked very hard during rehearsals to try to get this the way we wanted, where it looked just like, you know, poetry in motion. It was like one well choreographed dance. It was just well put together. We have an amazing stunt coordinator on this project, and he's been short of amazing with the fight scenes that he's putting together, along with the gunplay and all this other good stuff. So it's really been great.
Oh, good. Now, to both my actors, what was it like seeing yourself on film?
Rick?
So you go first.
I'm getting more comfortable, you know, over the few years, you know, and seeing myself, it definitely takes a bit of getting used to hearing yourself and seeing yourself. You know, in your mind, you think that you know, you're looking and you're rivaling, you know, Idris Elba and Denzel and all those handsome guys, and then you see yourself and you're like, oh man, whoa. But I'm and all kidding aside, you know, I'm pretty comfortable now, in my own skin, so to speak, seeing myself and hearing myself on film.
Oh, good. And what about you?
Yeah, I would say I'm the exact opposite. I mean, I'm the face of my company, and I am always out front. But it's always a very uncomfortable thing for me. And so I usually try and put people in place that I trust to tell me, you know, this is good, this is bad. Because I've been amazed at sometimes where I've seen something and been like, that is atrocious, that is a horrible picture, there is no way we're using this. And yet my marketing team will say to me, no, that's exactly what we want. And this is, you know, relaying that message. And there was a point when we did this last fight film where we had a still cameraman on site, and he took some still shots. And they brought up this one picture of me, and I was devastated by it. And I was like, this is just the most horrible picture I've ever seen. And it took me about a week to look at it and show it to some family and friends and realize that there is so much emotion in that picture that's being evoked that I got it. So for me, it's very uncomfortable. And I put a lot of faith in, you know, the other actors or into the director or into Rennie to be able to say, I got it, it's good. Because I have a really hard time being able to distinguish between this is what you're looking for and this isn't what you're looking for. I need the guidance. I need the direction. And I need somebody to say, do this, do that, bend this way, bend that way, fall on the ground. This is the emotion I want. That was it. That was perfect. I don't trust myself at all. That's the difference between a true actor and a not a true actor. And that's why I think Storm, you know, really has it, because he feels much more comfortable about, you know, being able to portray that, and I'm sort of just blindly stumbling through it, and I need the guidance on it. And that leaves me in awe that, you know, that these guys know what they're doing, and I'm just sort of clueless and just kind of rolling through the motions.
I don't think that it would be, you're not clueless. I believe that it's more like you're the novice, so to speak, and you're going on natural ability.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's a lot of instinctive things that Rick has done on camera that has really made the scene really pop. And that was one of the things that I was really amazed at. Even when we was doing the rehearsals, like, these guys would come out, because we actually rehearsed on our set, you know, the whole time before we shot, because it was such an open space. Just getting them used to the space and, you know, the parameters and what kind of distance it would take to kind of close in the gap on one another and things of that nature. And, you know, it was really instinctive to watch them both go through this stuff and how they got it. And it just looked really good. So when you say that you're not, even as Aran just pointed out, as a novice, I don't see that. I see that this is a true ability that you have. I feel like they say the whole world is a stage, you know. But yeah, I think you can actually do this, and you have, and it's, I have proof of it, because when I look at the scenes, it's amazing, you know. So from the rehearsal footage to the actual footage that we shot, you know, you brought it every time, both of you guys. So again, I just think that, when you find your niche, even sometimes even when you stumble onto it, it's always a great thing when you finally see it come together for you. And that's pretty much what I see right now.
Well, one of the most exciting things for me was there was this one scene where, you know, again, I had to fake getting hurt, and I had to act like I was hurt. And at the end of the scene and everything was cut, somebody came over to me and said, oh, my God, are you all right? Did you get hurt? And I was like, no, that's what you asked me to do. And that was a very satisfying moment for me because, you know, even the people on the set thought that I had really hurt myself and that I was in pain. And you know, I mean, I was basically acting. And to me, that was the paramount of the filming for me. Like, I walked away from that whole event feeling like, wow, at that moment, somebody, and even my mom looked at the still picture and said, are you okay? Do you look like you're in pain? And I said, no, that's what they asked me to do. And that's a very, very rewarding feeling when you're on that side of the camera.
Oh, okay. Now, guys, I'm just enjoying this so much, but our time is coming close to an end. And I would like to thank each one of you for just taking the time out to be with us and share your stories in regards to this project, your passion for what you do, your dedication to your craft, and your love for your wonderful creator, not the main creator, but the creator on this project, Rennie. And it's just been a joy for me, and I would love for you guys to come back again whenever you feel like you want to discuss the other aspects of the project, because from what I understand, that this is just part one, so to speak, and there are many more parts to go to it.
Yes, yes. We have a lot of twists and turns in this one for everyone, so you guys will definitely be amazed at the story and ooh and ah about, you know, where the direction is being taken to. So, again, you know, thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure. And, Rennie, you know how to reach me.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I definitely know how to reach you. And, I really appreciate everything, your continued support, and we will definitely be in touch.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank each one of you gentlemen so much. I can't wait to see your work, and believe me, it will be my pleasure to give you my comments, and I'm sure I will be pleased. So thank you again. And
thank you.
Well, you know, break a leg.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you
yes.
so much. We appreciate
You're
the
welcome.
Time and the platform as well.
You're quite welcome. That was Rennie Sharp and Storm and Rick. They are part of the web series that Rennie Sharp has created, and they've joined us, and we're just excited. We want to see, and it's called Among Us. Rennie, may I ask you one last question before you depart?
Yes.
How
yes.
is it spelled? That's the big question. A-M-O-N-G?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, because I just wanted to make sure, because you could have spelled it another way, and I wanted to make sure, because,
yes.
you know,
yeah,
that creative
right.
license.
I played around with it for a minute. Yes, I did play around with it for a minute. But, yes, it's pronounced and it spells just the way you just spelled it out.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Gentlemen, have an amazing evening, and I'm sure I'll be hearing more from you guys, and I will be seeing your work of art. So thank you again. Thank you, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good night. Everyone, that was an amazing opportunity that we just had to listen to the creative process and to hear how it translates to the people that he's trying to give his vision to so they can deliver the vision back to us so that we could view it. It's really interesting how all of these interchanges and interactions make such wonderful works of art for us to visualize and for us to see, to understand, embrace, and enjoy. Our emotions are involved in it, as well as the emotions of the actors while they're doing it, as well as the creator of these particular projects. There's so much emotion involved, and it all translates and it trickles down to us, and then we give our emotions and it, when we're watching it and viewing it, and then we turn around and tell them exactly how we feel about the project. So, I mean, this is all an interaction that happens, an exchange that happens each and every time we view something or listen to something. So we embrace our senses in a different way, and we have to thank the people who believe in their dreams and their abilities and take the time out to take their talent, their God-given talent, and share it with us, because they are letting us take part of what they've been blessed with, and that's a blessing for us. And if it gives us some kind of gratification and makes us happy and joyful, then we have to thank them. And I want to thank these people for taking the time, the effort and energy to do what they believe in, as well as share it with us. For that, we are truly grateful. And I would like to thank all of my listeners for their loyalty. I can't do this without you, and I love bringing all these amazing people and these wonderful opportunities to you, because you need to hear and see and know all that's out there, because there's so many wonderful things going on. I'm sure you get enough of the negative, but I want to bring you the positive, and that's what we're about here at the Coco Express Show. Tomorrow, we're going to have Real Estate Straight Talk, and we're going to be with Sharon Homer, Mike Ferris, and their other guest. He's going to be mad at me because his name just escapes me, and Joe Bilardo. Forgive me, Joe. And they're going to be talking about the 203K loans. Those are rehabilitation loans that you can get for your homes, and it's something to really consider because a lot of people don't know about them. So join us and learn more. Perhaps it can be a benefit to you. Saturday, we're going to have Paradigm Shifters with Steve Duncanson and Marilyn Ocasio-Medina, and they're going to talk about ways that you can have that positive mindset and bring it into your life to change your world so that you can start living your dreams. And on Monday, we're going to have another actor, and his name is John Canada Terrell. Many of you know him from She's Gotta Have It, Boomerang, Five Heartbeats. He was in The Brother from Another Planet. And Death by Temptation, all those different movies. He's going to join us, and he's going to tell us his perspective on acting and what it's like to be an actor and his number of years in the business. And then on Wednesday, we're taking a break because on Friday is my birthday. So I'm taking some time off, and I'm just going to be able to go out and enjoy. But I'm going to take the opportunity to go see one of the plays that we were introduced to through the show Around the World in 80 Days. So I'm going to come back to you guys with all the information that I've learned, and we'll be back on Saturday with You, the Best Invention Ever, and Sunday we'll be back again with none other than Wealth Zone Radio, where you can learn to get, you know, your wealth information and how to improve yourself through investing, through, let's see, there's so many things that she just encourages to do and gives us information on. Attorney Teresa Martin, she just provides us with the information to create generational wealth, not for ourselves only, but for our generations going forward in the future. So please join us. We have all these things for you to do and enjoy. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Be well. Take care.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.